Welcome back to the Fifth Wave podcast. I'm Jeffrey Young, editor-in-chief of Fifth Wave. Following on from our last episode exploring the equipment required for a successful coffee roastery, today we're releasing our complete interview with Scott Stopher, Chief Sales Officer at Probat. In this conversation, Scott offers incredible insights into the world of coffee roasting equipment, and he sheds light on which markets are growing the fastest. He also discusses the latest trends in technology, and finally shares important advice for any roaster looking to sustainably grow their business. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I wonder if you could give us a bit of a background on Probat and its history.
So Probat is a 160-plus-year-old company. We have been in the coffee roasting business all of those years. Little-known fact about Probat, but prior to 1900, we shipped 100,000 coffee roasters around the planet. It's an amazing number, and it's really a story of how coffee was roasted differently a century ago. So a century ago, all coffee was local. As green coffee was shipped around the planet and roasted in grocery stores and restaurants and hotels.
Wow.
We built Ball Roasters, and one of the three founders of the company, Theodor von Gimborn, invented a way to press the steel of the Ball Roaster and make the Ball Roaster faster and cheaper. And the Emmerich Machine Fabrique Company shipped these all over the planet, 100,000 of them prior to 1900.
Wow, that's a phenomenal amount of coffee roasters.
It is. They were the mass-produced roaster in sizes that are similar to what you have today. You know, they would be 5 kilo or 10 kilo or 25 kilo batch weight inside these drums. They were a manual process. You would burn wood or coal in a cylinder underneath the ball, and somebody would stand beside the ball and crank it. And half an hour later, the coffee inside the ball was roasted, and you now have the coffee that you serve at your restaurant or your hotel or your grocery store.
Wow.
So obviously, times changed. Probat changed along the way. In the early 1900s, the engineers at Probat invented the fast drum roaster. And this was the very first drum coffee roaster that really, you can look at this roaster today, we have it in our museum here at Emmerich, and say, wow, this actually looks similar, not the same, of course, but similar to the way roasters look today. So we continued to evolve the drum roaster over the decades and the centuries since, building the equipment that we build today, which is magnitudes, worlds different from what was built, of course, 100 years ago, but still with a similar look.
What's the scale of the roasting equipment market like today? Any segment that's growing fastest?
The machines that are by far the most popular for us are the 12 kilo, we call it the Probatoner, the P12, and the UG22 in the Retro series. 22 kilos per cycle, and those cycles, or 12 kilos per cycle for the P12.
Yeah.
And those machines, somebody that's got a new business, they might say, oh, okay, I have 3 stores, I have 5 stores, or I'm distributed in 2 bakeries down the road in a restaurant. I can work with a 12 kilo machine. And then once they're in a couple of grocery stores, a couple of supermarkets and wherever, then they're moving up to a 60 kilo machine because they know their business. They're running their 12 kilo machine 6 days a week, 12 or 16 hours a day. And they think, yeah, I need a bigger machine.
And what types of customization might happen that customers, I mean, you know, obviously you've got a base machine. Tell us about some of the other products that come hand in hand with your equipment and what types of customizations are sometimes required.
As the sales guy, I'll tell you we can do anything. Now, my engineering staff hates it when I say that. We do in the 12, 25, 60 kilo range. We have as standard options feeding systems so that you can automatically lift the green coffee up to the charge hopper. You can imagine if you had a 22 kilo roaster If you had to lift a bucket with 22 kilos over your head and dump it into the charge hopper, that's a repetitive injury waiting to occur. Yeah. So we do feeding systems. We do destoners. So when the coffee comes out of the cooling tray, it can be air lifted up to a hopper, and you can remove any stones. You know, stones are pretty prevalent in green coffee, so that's a good quality feature to have. We, of course, can do scales going in and going out. We do extra thermocouples. If you want to use, a cloud-based recording and control system like a Cropster or an Artisan, so we can do those types of features. We can do custom decals. If somebody has, you know, Big Star coffee, we're happy to put a Big Star on the side of the roaster. When I say we can really do whatever you want, you can go to YouTube and look at videos of the roasters that are in the Starbucks Reserve roasteries, and you can see the extent of customization that can be done. It's not every day that we have a multi-year project where we work with designers and artists and, you know, I was personally involved in several of those projects. They are long involved projects, as you can imagine, but they result in a great product. You know, those places look like the Willy Wonka of coffee factories, and they look great.
You mentioned a word there, which I've heard the word before, but I'm not a roaster myself. You said sometimes you can add an extra thermocouple. What is a thermocouple?
A thermocouple is an instrument, a device that senses temperature. So it's an electronic thermometer. You might want to know what temperature your coffee's at. You might want to know the temperature of the exhaust air coming off the coffee. You might want to know the temperature of the air going into the coffee below the drum. You might want to know the temperature of the coffee in your cooling tray to know if it's cooled as fast as you want it to cool. So these are all places where we can measure and we can report.
Well, obviously it makes a lot of sense. Good for me to understand the whole process.
Something the shop roasters are increasingly more and more interested in is we have quite the variety of pollution control equipment that is... Oftentimes, you know, in a place like London or in most urban areas around the planet, you have to control your smoke and your odor. And increasingly, you know, air quality management districts are actually looking at what comes out of your roasting stack. So you have to control what comes out of your roasting stack. And we do just straight afterburners that heat the effluent up to the temperature where it can be oxidized and become odor-free and smoke-free. And we do catalyzers of different types. And we do filtration systems. We have quite a variety of things that can be applied depending upon your need.
For the geeks in the audience, I wonder if you could just quickly unpack the difference between an afterburner, a catalyzer, and a filtration system.
Imagine you've got the pipe come out of the back of your roaster, and that pipe contains smoke and odor, just to be as simple as I can. You can use natural gas and heat up that stream with a supplemental burner, heat up that stream to 600 Celsius, and you can destroy the smoke and the odor. You're burning it. And that is a thermal afterburner. Or you can take that stream and you can heat it up to about 350 degrees Celsius, maybe 400 Celsius, and pass it across a catalyst, which is, in simple terms, it's a metal screen that has platinum and palladium dusted onto it. And the platinum and palladium oxidize those volatile compounds and get rid of the smoke and the odor at a much lower temperature. This is exactly what happens in the catalyzer of an internal combustion engine in your car, right? Same thing.
Yeah.
Or you can use a filtration system that is diatomaceous earth, which attracts the particulate matter and the organic compounds that are in the exhaust of the coffee, and it plates those, it makes those settle onto the filter. Now, the downside of that is you only get maybe 10 tons or 12 tons of coffee that you can roast before you have to change out the filtration media. So if you have a 12 or 25 kilo roaster, you might have to change that media every couple of months. But that meat that uses no fossil fuel, and it means the exhaust that comes out of your roaster is cool. So the exhaust that comes out of your roaster might only be a couple hundred degrees Celsius. So for example, if you are putting this coffee roaster on the ground level of a 10-story building, this would be the type of pollution control system you would have to have.
Interesting. Wow.
And if you want to get, now we'll get even more nerdy on this.
Okay.
We can build these coffee roasters, all the ones that I just mentioned, and they can use natural gas or propane, of course, as their heating system. They can be electric or they can be hydrogen. And if you have a source of biogas, we do biogas roasters too, but that's nobody really has a good source of biogas unless you're building your coffee roaster next to a landfill that's been tapped.
Are you seeing more demand for electric and hydrogen solutions rather than the natural gas?
Yes. So we definitely have an increased demand in electric roasters. There are certainly shop roasters that are performing today carbon neutral and roasting and advertising that. I spent the first 14 years of my ProBot career in the US. And I know the first electric roaster we sold in the US went, of course, into California, but it went to a company that had a small windmill on their property. And they were happy to roast coffee with windmill generated electricity. And we see that, you know, increasingly, I mean, not just in the US, but certainly it's here in Europe, it's in Australia, it's all over. Hydrogen is a little more challenging because the infrastructure is not there. But we have development projects, customers that we're in discussion with in Northern Europe, in Japan, in China, all these places where the infrastructure for hydrogen is coming. And we have built roasters as large as 120 kilos with hydrogen burners. Mm-hmm. So we're prepared to say we're hydrogen ready. When you have the challenge, we will have the hydrogen roaster for you.
So trend to electric, no doubt. What are some of the other trends that you're seeing in the market for coffee roasting equipment?
So we build coffee roasters for whatever our customers' requirements are. We certainly still build very manual artisan coffee roasters. You want to push buttons to make the temperature go up and down, or you want to turn a dial. We do that. We do a lot of that. But we do see increasing demand for automation, profile roasting control, recording of that profile and replicating that profile. Translating those profiles from one machine to the next machine. Prior to my employment with ProBot, I was a ProBot customer. And I used to say to the people that were in our operations team, hey, if it was just Brad or Susan roasting coffee, that's great because Brad and Susan are awesome. But we hire new people all the time, and those new people have to roast repeatedly the same way all the time. And so I think we see a lot of that. Even among companies that have like 60 kilo machines, they realize, wow, I might have to roast on third shift, and who am I going to hire to roast? And I have to have an automated system.
Any other processes within the roasting period that are increasingly automated?
You know, amazingly, it varies by place. So we do roasting plants from specialty, as we're talking about here, all the way up through some of the big guys. If I'm in China, for example, they are all about coffee quality, but usually through online color sorting. So online color sorting is a big thing in China among the coffee companies that are roasting there. Not a big thing other places on the planet. You see, you know, the automation that I was talking about before, that's definitely more of a a European and North American centric thing. That's still not really a thing in South America or over in Asia. There's not the drive to automation in those places.
So again, asking a naive question here, the online color sorting, is that, if I'm understanding it correctly, is that just the grades of brownness that they're kind of sorting into so you get a uniform amount of the coffee, or is it something more complex?
It can be as simple as what you said. It's usually applied to green coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the customers where we do this, and China is a very price-driven market. So it's about buying a lower grade of coffee and then sorting out the 2% that's not good.
Okay. So it's predominantly for the pre-roasting.
Predominantly pre-roasting. Although okay. we can and we have applied it in a few locations for post-roasting in order to sort out, you can sort out the same debris.
Yep.
But you can also sort out maybe a small bean that got over-roasted or whatever you need to do to meet your quality spec.
And all obviously leading to, I think what you're inferring, there's this increasing focus on efficiency, efficiency, efficiency.
Yes. And among, you kind of asked what the trend is, but among our larger customers, efficiency, efficiency, efficiency is certainly the trend. So we're doing all types of sensors and automation practices for online color control. We're doing online moisture control. We're working on cloud-based controls programs that will allow you to do things like minimize your energy usage for a given profile. Right. And I love having those conversations too. They're wholly different though from the specialty conversations.
What are the trends that you're seeing specifically in the specialty side? What are specialty roasters looking for?
We talk a lot about pollution control and we talk a lot about energy type. I will be at SCA, the SCA Expo that will occur in Chicago, and then I'll be at the World of Coffee that's in Copenhagen. And I would say 7 out of the 10 conversations that I have at that are going to be questions about how does this run on electric? Can I taste anything different if I have an electric coffee roaster? What does that do to the emissions that come out of my roaster? So they're asking, there's a lot of questions about what do these alternative energy sources do to the way coffee is roasted? You have to know your customer. And I think the specialty coffee customers that are out there, if there are already people that are looking for single origin varietal, they're looking for a higher quality thing. These are people that are also saying things like, how was that coffee produced? So the specialty coffee people that are asking these questions are specialty coffee people that know who their customers are, and they're doing what their customers are demanding.
Yeah, it all ties into a very, very consistent story here. Now, when someone acquires all the equipment that they need, it's all in place, it's all working. What sort of post-sales support do companies need to think about?
One thing that we have found across the planet is that people often need training, right? So here in Emmerich, and also at our, I know at our facility that's outside of Chicago in the US, we do SCA certified training, and we can offer that for your roaster. So you can come see the roaster that was built for you. Here in Emmerich, we have that model sitting in our demonstration room, and you can have a day with our trainer, and you can learn the basics of how you start up and shut down the machine, but also how you create your own profiles. We teach things like green coffee cupping and green coffee blending. So these are all the basic things that not everybody that gets into coffee roasting knows that. We do offer a series of classes that will help people get started in running their roaster. Along with that, we offer things like Know Your Roaster, which is your basic maintenance. These are the things you have to change. These are the things you have to pay attention to. In our specialty business, we do a pretty good job globally of being able to supply maintenance, if not from a probot company, which is one of our daughter companies, but also from our agents. So most of our agents have service technicians that can help you if you have a major problem with your machine.
And what kinds of preventive maintenance or ongoing maintenance do typically coffee roasting equipment require?
Cleaning, cleaning, cleaning.
Okay.
You put 10 kilos of green coffee into the roaster, you get 8 kilos of roasted coffee out.
Yeah.
The green coffee that went in, we'll pretend it was 10% moisture content. That water's gone. That water was evaporated. The other 10% was organic mass. So you lost, in that 12-minute roast cycle, you lost 1 kilo of organic mass. And if you roast 1,000 kilos of coffee, you're going to get 100 kilos of smoke that comes off, and it will coat and plate the inside of your ductwork, your fan, your cyclone, the stack that goes out your roof. So every specialty coffee roaster that's roasted for say more than a year has run themselves into a fire in their ductwork or their fan or their cyclone. It's this condensed material that builds up that started on fire. So the number one thing you can do to maintain your roaster and keep it running a long time is have a good cleaning cycle.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess the cleaning cycle is going to determine basically on how much coffee you're roasting and how big your equipment is.
It is, but it's just like having a fireplace at your house. If you don't have the chimney sweep come in annually, your chimney's going to catch on fire.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting to get down to this level of,
yeah.
But I mean, this is critical. This is absolutely critical.
That's critical. The other things that need to be replaced, you have wear parts, the scrapers and the cooling tray have to be replaced. You know, every couple of years, you have to do the bearings on the front and the back of the roaster. In 10 years or so, you might have to replace some motors. Usually those things are just unplug, bolt the new one on, plug it back in. Most of the specialty people do that themselves.
You've given us a lot of nuts and bolts there of what has to be done. Now, let's think a little bit more strategically. Someone comes to you as a favor and says, look, I'm thinking of opening up a roastery. What are the steps that you would take them through to make sure they get the right solution?
First, what my friend is asking me is really a business question. So I'm going to try and help him or her
yep.
determine for whom are they roasting, right? What role does the roaster play in their marketing concept? I'll talk to you about a friend I have. Her name is Jean. Yep. Love Jean endlessly. She wanted to start her own little roasting plant. She had worked in roasting facilities for a long time. She bought a 12-kilo roaster. And we had discussions about how customer-facing is this machine going to be? Do you need to pay attention to noise? Like if this roasting machine is going to be very customer-facing, sitting in your bakery, sitting in your coffee shop, and you're going to run this roaster while you have customers present, then you have to start to pay attention to noise. And so we need to make sure that if you have an automatic loader, or even if the cyclone has a fan on top, that we either put sound enclosure around that or that sits behind a wall so that we take the noise of some of these devices away from where your customers are going to be located. Alternatively, as was the case with Jean, the roaster was going to be in the back room. Customers weren't going to see it. She's primarily roasting for wholesale. Perfect. Then we can just do the basic roaster. We don't have to talk about custom paint jobs. We don't have to worry about noise. Then it becomes, what do you need for your business? We also had discussions about how many customers is she going to serve? How's the roaster going to play into your market? And then who are your customers and how do you plan for this machine for growth?
And mistakes that you can help them to avoid? What mistakes can someone buying a piece of roasting equipment make?
The number one mistake they make is they're not thinking about what comes out the stack. If you operate an ice cream facility and you want to start roasting coffee, you don't really think that black smoke is going to come out the stack of my roaster. I had a very, you know, disheartening conversation with a guy a couple of years ago at an SCA that had bought a 12-kilo roaster. He neglected to tell us that he was putting this into a bakery on the ground floor of a 100-story building in downtown Manhattan. And when he did that, then my conversation with him was like, you are never going to get a permit. The city of New York is never going to let you put that in there. That's the number one pitfall. And you, especially when you start to get a little bit larger, it can almost be inevitable that there's a little bit of odor that can come out of, say, the exhaust of the cooling tray. 99.999% of the time, the exhaust of the cooling tray just goes directly out without any pollution control system. We can do that if it's necessary. But if you are going to put a coffee roaster in Berlin, or if you're going to put a coffee roaster in one of the nicer neighborhoods of London, producing the odor of roasted coffee is one complaint away from a notice of violation. And particularly if your coffee roaster is next to, let's say, a library or a school or a city hall, you're likely to get a complaint.
I just want to ask you one last question. What do you think we're going to see in the future from coffee roasting equipment? Any innovations or new technologies that you're excited about? Will AI play a role? What do you think we're going to see in the future?
The answer to AI is yes. We have some AI products in development. I am super excited that we're going to roll out an AI product at the SCA Expo in Chicago in April. This is an AI technology, cloud-based AI technology for coffee quality. Having said that, there is so much power that's coming through technology and through computing. I mentioned before about profile roasting controls. We have systems that will allow you to track productivity and quality and schedule compliance and energy consumption from apps on your phone. And you can compare and contrast, for example, one facility to another facility. We do computing systems that make tracking and tracing so you can have this is mostly for larger customers, but you can have a pallet of coffee sitting in a warehouse and you can use a barcode scanner and scan it. And I can tell you what lots of green coffee went through what roaster on what day, through what blender, through what grinder, through which packaging machine and when it was packaged. They're amazingly smart systems. So you asked what's coming. Yes, we're doing all the things with alternative energy. Yes, we're doing things to reduce energy consumption. Yes, we're doing things to improve quality control. We're doing things on this computer control and manipulation of data that is just blows my mind.
Well, Scott, thanks so much for joining us here today on Fifth Wave.
Thank you for having me.
And that's all for this week's Fifth Wave podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe and share the link with a friend or colleague. Also, if you're on Apple or Spotify, we'd really love a 5-star review to help us increase our reach across the industry. To stay informed, visit worldcoffeeportal.com to get access to all the latest global coffee news, including the weekly coffee dose, collecting all the big coffee news stories. Links are in the show notes. This episode was produced in the one and only Serendipity Studios in glorious Camden, North London. It was produced by myself, Jeffrey Young, Hannah Heath, and sound engineering by Chris Bristow. Until next time, stay safe, stay passionate, and stay caffeinated.